Okay.
Okay. Hey, everyone. Hi, Mo.
Hey, everyone. Hey, Steph.
So, this is it. It's week 12. I can't believe how quickly it's gone. And I can't believe just how much I've really enjoyed it. It's just been an amazing 3 months. It's so cool to get to know you guys. Really, really such a gift. It's been such a gift. So pleased. And I guess I was watching Michael's video early on today, and I was reflecting on the journey that we've all been on, I guess, and the journey that we've been on over the last 12 weeks, and the journey that I've been on since I started living from the inside out, you know, sort of 3 years ago. And when Michael was talking about the glass elevator of consciousness, and he was talking about the ground floor being the objective stage and the subjective levels, and then he was talking about the higher levels, the constructed levels, and then he was gone beyond that. Well, beyond that, I have to say, that's beyond my pay grade. I don't even have an intellectual understanding of the kaleidoscope and the prism. That's something I've not seen. But I've reflecting on my journey, I remember when I was at the beginning of living from the inside out, I was definitely in the ground floor of the glass elevator. I was looking out, looking at my life, and thinking that what I was seeing was how it was. What I was seeing was reality, and I was just having to cope with it. And very slowly over the next few months during LFTIO and then beyond that, the more I began to be in this conversation with guys like you who were also really curious and interested and felt there was something to be seen. Very slowly, my consciousness at times would rise to the subjective level. The subjective level kind of was, for me, it looks like the self-help stuff, you know, the techniques and the positive thinking and NLP modalities, that kind of thing, where we look at life from a different angle and we get a different perspective on things, and that somehow makes us feel better. And the jump from that to the constructive levels was huge for me, and that took a little bit more time. For a lot of people, they kind of make that jump fairly quickly, but I was a bit remedial in that one. But when I look back at how my experience of life seemed to be when I started on this journey, most of life seemed to be a struggle. Most of life seemed to be a challenge. There were times when it felt better, but most of the time it seemed that I was battling against my own self-worth and my own feelings of being broken. And the journey that I've been on to over the last 3 years, I guess, when Michael sort of describes it as when we spend more time online, more time in those high performance flow states, our life unfolds with a beauty and ease that you've probably only ever experienced in rare moments up until now. And that, for me, has been the absolute truth. I, as with everybody, I go up and down that elevator of consciousness. I don't stay in any one state for too long. But there's a feeling that once we see from a certain perspective, we never once we've seen that, we can't unsee it. So even though we might go down in our level of consciousness again, we always rise up to the highest part that we've seen. And that's been a real comfort for me, because even when I've been at my lowest, I've known that somewhere I have a sense that of the perspective that's available to me that will eventually show itself. Sometimes it might take a bit longer for me to go back up there. Sometimes it might be not very nice, but there's something about knowing that I'm not going to be on the ground floor permanently. And that's how I used to feel. I used to feel that this was all there was. So the story of how I have grown in my understanding has been exactly that of what Michael has described. Life does seem easier. There are times when I see people around me that are really getting caught up and really getting upset about details in their life that it seems now seems quite strange to me. I have compassion for them, I have love for them, but it's a marker of how far I seem to have traveled. And then I get lost in it again. And that's another part of the lesson. But life does look different. The world does look different to me. And life has unfolded in a way that I could never have, in my personal mind, ever have imagined. I'm talking to you from a hotel room in Macau in China at the moment. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Who knew? Hey? Who knew? It wasn't even in my, you know, in my realm. I could never have imagined this. So for me, what it always comes back to, and I think Michael described it in the Living from the Inside Out book, it's really easy to lose sight of this sometimes, but it's really easy the way he describes it. And that when I begin to get lost, there are two things that always are useful reminders. One of them, as Michael describes it, is do you know where your experience is coming from? in any moment, in every moment. And the second one is, do you know your God? Now that language can be a little bit confronting for some people, but I think of it as, do you know that you're the infinite potential of the universe? Do you really know that? And for me, my journey has been seeing that even if I only catch a glimpse of those things, it changes everything. And it seems to me that while I have those two aspects of the principles in my mind, the deeper that I see those two things, the more beautiful, the more effortless, the more productive, the more creative, the more loving, the more compassionate my life is. I'm a bear of little brain me, so I need just very, very few simple guidelines. And those two for me are key. So my journey has been getting to see both of those aspects at deeper and deeper levels. And I've done that by staying in the conversation, as Michael says. Not necessarily on courses, not necessarily listening to audios, but just talking to people like this for the last 3 months. I have learned so much from the insights you guys have shared. And that is the beauty of this, is that when we get chance to be in this space together, and we get chance to get quiet, and we get chance to try to articulate what we're seeing, we get to see it deeper. Even if it's something we're trying to describe and we're looking, we're reaching to find words, we get to see it deeper. And when we get to see it deeper, life just gets deeper. Life gets richer. So I really want to thank every single one of you for being on this journey with Maureen and I and Sparkles and Sarah and Lynn, because we're all in the same conversation. We're all learning from each other. We're all exploring all the time. And if there's one thing that I would recommend, this is advice, okay? We're not supposed to give advice, but advice it is to just stay in the conversation. Stay in the conversation with me, Maureen, Sparkles, the rest of the Inside Out community, and other 3P communities. Share what you're seeing with people you talk to when the opportunity arises, because you know there's a different feel to talking about this with people who don't know the words, don't know the three principles jargon that we use. There's something magical about trying to articulate it again to people who haven't been exposed to this. And by sharing it, we can't we can't help but heal people, you know. We can't help but connect to people from that place of love that we are. I'm going to get dramatic about it, but that's how consciousness is raised. That's how the consciousness of the planet gets raised, one mind at a time. We have the precious honor to know something that 99.99% of the planet doesn't know yet. There is nothing that people can't be helped with, nothing in their lives that can't be healed or improved or be made more beautiful by having this understanding. What a gift that is. We have to share it. If we're going to be in service to others, whether it looks like being a coach or whether it looks like being in business or whether it's just sharing it with your family and friends, it doesn't matter. But that is how the consciousness of the planet is being raised. And I personally, this isn't anything to do with anything that the principles has taught me, but I think the consciousness of the planet wants to be raised. I think it is moving in that direction. And if it's one thing that people need to understand in order to do that, then I think we know it. So I'm going to get off my soapbox now. You're all beautiful, loving pieces of pure consciousness and stardust, you know. That's how the consciousness of the planet is raised, is by people recognizing that in themselves. Okay, Maureen, help.
I don't know if there's anything else to say, Steph. I just had a conversation with Michael before getting on the call. So I think you might have been listening, because you kind of touched on quite a few things that we were discussing. And I love what you said about articulation, because that really seems to be, I think, my weakest point in all of this is articulating. Articulating what I see, what I feel about the principles. It's kind of hard for me to articulate about the principles. I know I can see it and I feel it. And we were talking about truth. And he corrected me. I'm like, wait.
He does that.
Wait a minute, there is no right or wrong. Don't discourage me. But and I was saying, to me, it looked like What is true for me today will not be true to me in a month or 2 months or maybe tomorrow. But he said, no, Maureen, I don't know if I'm getting the words right. Maybe what is, I guess it really doesn't matter. What the words mean. But it all goes back to, the only thing that does stay true, let's put it like that, are the principles. You may see things differently in a minute, in an hour, in a year, on a situation that happened. And it's kind of like when we go back to the prison, what I saw on death row that day, what I saw that day, at that moment, to me, I thought was true or truth, whatever. I don't know what the hell those words mean. And now that I know the principles, I see it differently. And after being in this conversation now for a couple of years, I even see it at a different level. So, did it change what happened that day? No. But the way I see it changed. Or is it just that I'm at a different level of consciousness when I'm reflecting back on what happened? And it's about everything, about anything that we go through in life. You know, work, relationships, money. The only thing that really holds true is the principles. That's the basis for everything we see in life. Everything that's going, anything that we, every thought comes from that. And how we see it in that moment. I don't know if this is making sense, Steph. You might have to jump in and save me. I've been told earlier, we can call somebody out if they're wrong. I'm like, no, no. But I didn't think we were. But when I was telling Michael, it's just, to me, like even last weekend with the family all being together for Thanksgiving, it was so easy. There were so many moments that could have been drama, like waves on the surface, that if you wanted to ride them, it could have made them bigger. But then when you go, what's beneath all that, there's nothing there. But that true essence of love. And for the person, there really isn't. That's just stuff we put on top. And it was such a beautiful week with the kids and the grandkids. And I just even noticed on, like the day we were leaving, the lady across the street kind of helps us watch over our house and cleans for us when we're not there. And she came over, and at first, you know how it is, you're real busy like packing and getting all your stuff together. And she wanted to talk. And I finally just stopped. And just was present with her as she was telling me her story about what was going on with her grandchildren and all that. And I just really just, and I was really in awe of myself, how still I had gotten and forgot everything I needed to be doing and was just listening to her. And as I was just standing there listening to her, she got tears in her eyes and started just saying how much she appreciated us and said how angelic we were. What an angelic, the grandchildren were angelic. She goes, y'all's whole presence. And I thought, wow, that wasn't even there a moment ago. Because I was packing and throwing stuff out and cleaning the refrigerator and doing all those, all that other stuff. But the minute you stop, it's just so quick that you can just get still with a person. And they experience that same stillness, that same quietness. And I was telling Michael, I said, you know, with the principles, I said, I feel like they're floating around up here. And then you go deeper and deeper. And you think, you already know it. Yeah, I got this shit. I got it. Just don't ask me to explain it. But then you see it. And it's so, I told Michael, I said, it's kind of like you just go deeper and deeper, like under the bottom of the ocean. And it gets so quiet. But it's not quiet. If you look, all the noise, the traffic, the band, the shopping malls, wherever you're at, it's noisy. But that doesn't mean that you have to have all that. There's still, it's so easy just to tap back in into that own quietness within ourselves without having to be in meditation or doing affirmations or it's just being, it's just there. And everything that comes up, even at work, the minute I get caught up in, oh, who effed up this deal, right? Whose fault is it? The minute I get that thought in my head, it just like slaps me back down. And then you realize, oh, there's not a problem. It's all okay. And it goes right on, the deal goes on through. The minute the blame, you just step out of it, out of the circle, everything settles back down. I don't know if this is helping anybody, but I'm just kind of really chilled at the moment. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't dare. That was really beautiful. That was really beautiful. Yeah.
And all I can really tell all y'all, really, for being on this program with Steph and I mean, Michael, for one, for inviting us to do this program, to trust us, trust y'all with us. It has really been an honor and a privilege. And I have really just quieted my own self down, listening to y'all's stories. You've taken me deeper in wanting me to even hear more, learn more, share more. And I just love y'all all. Thank you.
Can you feel that?
Mm-hmm.
This is what it's all about. Whatever for this feels like to you, this is where the answers are. Sid said, if you were listening to an audio of his in the car, and you got into this feeling, you got into this silence, into this quietness, take the tape out, throw it away. Because this This is it. So at the risk of breaking the feeling, do we have any questions or any comments or anything that anybody's noticed in this call or since we last spoke? Anything they'd like to share?
I have Simon. I'm going to unmute Simon, wherever you've gone, there you are. Simon?
Hello.
There you go.
Hi, Simon.
Hi. Good afternoon, everybody. Good morning. Good evening, whatever. Good morning. 1 o'clock in the morning. That's bloody nuts stuff, isn't that right?
Yeah, I know.
Good on you. What's going on here? Sorry. Thank you very much, both of you and everybody. You know, it's been a really lovely time doing this stuff with you. I've been so caught up in shit today, you know. Just bloody messages and juggling diaries, and it's amazing how fast it can flip straight from that crap to what it's really about, you know. The fact that we can feel it, you know, we're all feeling this stuff, you know, with Stephanie. So that's the feeling that there's only one reason that we can all feel that, and that's because it's inside us. It that's it, you know. That's what unites us. The space between the notes or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes on stuff I listen to, there's everybody wants to jump just straight after the next person. You know, the first person hasn't finished speaking yet, and the second person's just jumping on top of them, and it's just like, oh, just can you just hold on a minute and just let it, you know, we just have a little bit of a break, and that's what this is. That's where it's at, isn't it? So thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Simon. That was beautifully put. I couldn't have put it better myself.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
Okay, Jack. Sorry, Jackie. I will get to you. Rex, I have first, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you, Rex? Rex.
Hi, thank you. Thank you very much. A question, first of all, Steph. When you mentioned there were two things, I wrote down the second one. Do you know your God? What was the first thing that you were saying? It was
do we know where our experience is coming from in any moment, in every moment?
Thank you. What really, I guess I've got a sort of a juxtaposition, really, in that what Maureen said was really wrung for me was about just being there as a person with a person, and I guess that the thing that hit me was, should I know how to do that? And then I had a little less quieting realization, is that I don't do that very much. And I just wonder how different things would be if I were able to do that thing that I believe I know how to do, which is just to be there. And so often I feel like I have an agenda, and I realize the more that my agenda is just to be there with somebody, the better that is for me. But my God, I get in my own way.
Yeah.
I hadn't expected that I would say that, but that's where I am.
That perfectly illustrates what I was trying to say about when we try to articulate something, just the act of trying to articulate it when we don't have a pre-prepared speech allows us to find something new. Perfect. And I don't know if Maureen wants to say anything, but what I found in really being there, really being present with somebody, not having that agenda and not having that noise, or not at least not paying attention to the noise in my head, when I'm truly being there and listening to the words that the other person's saying and listening to the feelings behind the words, when we do that, there's less of us there. There's less of our ego. There's just pure consciousness there, which is what connects to people.
Forgive me, we connect at consciousness?
Sorry, say that again?
We connect at consciousness.
Yeah, what we do is when we are present with somebody and we show up to them without having our own thoughts about agenda and judgment or trying to fix them. When we're just, as Maureen said, when we're just being with them, we connect on that level beneath thinking, which is who we truly are. We create that space that Simon was talking about, or rather that space is shared. It's... Yeah. Love and compassion, and that people feel that. People really feel that. So,
I know how to do that. I could just need to practice, just permit myself just to be in that space. Spend less time juggling all the other things that I juggle.
I think for me, what changed it for me was that I know that I couldn't stop the dialogue in my head, but I had a choice of whether to pay attention to it or not. So it wasn't a case for me of trying to see the thoughts and let them pass through. It was just seeing them and paying attention to the person, paying attention to the feeling. Putting my attention on them rather than me.
Yeah.
But you already know how to do that, Rex.
Thank you. I think I do.
I see it now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rex. Okay, Jackie.
Well, a couple things were coming up for me. You guys were talking, and some of it is that just how it seems to me at this point is that the principles aren't about the principles. And understanding the principles isn't about understanding the principles and focusing on them. I'm remembering this story, and I think I read about it, and I think it's true. I don't think it's apocryphal. I think it's true. There's some kind of deer or impala or something that can leap straight up 35 feet in the air, but they'll only do it if they see where their feet will land. So they can be imprisoned by a 6-foot wall because they're like 5 feet high, and they won't jump because they can't see over the wall. And it seems to me, as I'm looking personally at how it is, I'm thinking I may be moving forward. Because I don't talk directly about this stuff much. And while you were talking, Steph, I was going like, uh-oh. Uh-oh. Maybe this isn't, you know, maybe this actually isn't the way for me or what. But it's, this can be expressed any way. If I want to do it somehow through art, without that being the intention, I'm going to express the principles. But as I understand them and I get more present and more open, more comes through that isn't from me. That's all. It isn't about, and I understand we learn more as we talk about it, but it isn't about having the cleverest way to describe each principle at all. It's what we're seeing. And is a the deer don't need to learn to jump. They're born knowing how to jump. They just need to trust that their feet will land on the other side of the wall. That's all. And this doesn't have to be expressed any one way, and it doesn't have to look any one way. And the raising, I think, it's just how it looks to me, that the raising of the consciousness of the planet is in presence. And the more present we are, whatever we're doing, however we're expressing what comes through us, it's a poem or it's lunch, it raises the consciousness of the planet and how well or badly we can talk about it is it's not the source of presence.
I think you're right. I probably have to qualify what I was saying by staying in the conversation and by articulating. I think what I meant was that the way I have seen more deeply is not by trying to articulate mind, thought, and consciousness in a better way. What I found helpful is when I have an insight, when I have something that I've seen, which has been really helpful to me, there is a way of describing it that I have in my personal head that I will try to articulate. And then I'll get to the point where I run out of words. And at that point, when I'm at that stage of reaching, of trying to of stopping trying to describe it from my personal mind, and I'm letting mind help me to describe it. Sometimes I will say something like Rex did a minute ago that allows me to see what I'm trying to describe even deeper. I'm not talking about trying to articulate the principles and trying to impress people or trying to teach people. It's just being able to describe something that I see, but not from my personal mind. From allowing mind to allow me to see deeper. That's my take on it. But you're right. I mean, that's not the only way. But in this environment where when people are new to the principles, it's useful for people to, I think yeah. and there's no right answer to this, but it's useful for people to talk about what they see.
Yeah, I know, because we talk and you never... In our conversations, we never talk about the principles directly. No. I'm just, when I think people are saying this is the only path, or this is the only way, I have some stuff going on about that, and I'm very much looking right now at what direction I'm going to be going in.
And you're right to point that out. Mm. You're right to point that out.
Did that sound, that didn't sound like I was trying to correct you or something. That wasn't what I meant. It's just what I'm... Okay.
It was beautiful, Jackie. It was very well. Very well put.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, Jackie.
Peter. Peter?
Hi, everybody. I just love that feeling that we all, well, certainly I experienced when Mo finished speaking. I don't think I've sort of had a feeling as deep as that. Actually, I think if no one has said anything else for the next 40 minutes, I was in a great place. It was a lovely experience. But I had an interesting insight this week. I was talking to a 3P friend, and we were talking about, you know, what we sort of found helpful in terms of just quieting the mind down. And I found myself turning that into a doing, and I'd go for a walk, or I'd put a bit of music on, or I'd just sort of leave whatever I was doing and just try and create a bit of space. But then it just occurred to me that just the awareness that the answer wasn't in whatever I was personally thinking. The answer wasn't there. Just that awareness almost instantly created a bit of space for something new to come in. So instead of going for a walk, which could be half an hour or something like that, I found it quite interesting that the conditioning was such that it was so easy to turn even something like that into a doing. And yet, although I've heard understanding does the heavy lifting and it's all about awareness, it's only when I found myself talking about the various sort of things I would do, it all suddenly became irrelevant. And just knowing that the answer isn't in form, personal thinking, I suddenly found it was easier to create space. I just wanted to share that because when Mo finished speaking, the feeling was just there. It's almost as though the feeling is there always. And it's just the surface thinking that blocks it out. And as many have already said, I love this program. It's sad that it's the 12th week, but obviously I'm sure we'll all keep in touch. And Steph and Mo and Annette and everyone that's always been part of it, thanks so much, because I know I'm touching the tip of the iceberg here in terms of the depth I can go, but it's been a wonderful program.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
We don't have too much time left, but I'm going to see if I can get to both of the remaining.
I was going to say, I don't know if, seeing as it's the last one, I was thinking if people want to hang on for a little bit longer, and I'm quite happy to extend the last week of Living from the Inside Out, so we can get to speak to as many people as we can.
Okay. I think yours is the worst time set, so it's...
You'll see me nodding off.
Yeah. Okay, so is it Andrew?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm on.
You're on.
Yeah. Hey, I was thinking, being aware of this idea about raising consciousness, and what I see, or how it occurs to me, is that the consciousness doesn't need to be raised. It's already there collectively around the whole planet for everybody. It's just obviously a matter of tapping into it. So there's no raising necessary, no efforting, no working towards raising the consciousness of the planet. The consciousness is always already at its highest level. It's just whether we individually or collectively or in small groups choose or can clear what's in the way to tapping into that. Anyway, I just had that thought. That's what I was seeing. Hearing about raising the consciousness, I'm like, wow, my experience is it's really high. Let's just tap into it. Anyway, just a thought.
Yeah.
Thank you, Andrew. I told Steph in the beginning, I said, anybody who mentions the word consciousness, Steph has to answer it.
Cool. Go for it, Steph.
I completely agree with you, Andrew. I think you're right. I think you're right that consciousness, we all are that pure consciousness. We all are pure love. We all are that diamond. And I think that it's the misunderstanding about how life works that prevents people from realizing that they're God, from realizing that they're connected to it. So, yes, in a way. I mean, it's one of those things that is fraught using words, you know. Michael describes it as, you know, we're trying to point to fire with ice, you know. It's just so yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I think it is already there. We are already that, but it's the misunderstanding that prevents us from really seeing that. So I guess the term raising the consciousness is kind of, as Sid would say, is just gently tapping people on the shoulder and making them aware that they are God, that they are that's how I see it.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I was thinking about what Maureen, I don't know, Maureen, what your experience is with prison, but I used to go into East LA and speak to children in schools where they're pretty much lost. The teachers have given up. Everybody's given up on them, the gangs. And I would go in there and just open my heart and, you know, and for me, there was no raising of consciousness. It was just connecting with everybody, and their genius would show up. And the teacher's like, "What did you do?" And I said, "I did nothing. I just saw what's there." And that's what there is to do, raise or working or, you know, solving problems. It's just seeing people for who they are. They're, you know, I don't know, the right, like you said, Steph, the words get in the way, the right words, but just being with people in a certain way,
yeah,
is the magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Thanks.
Thank you, Andrew.
And the elevator can get in the way too. I just like to go as high as I want.
Yeah, I keep looking for the buttons. I keep looking for the button.
Yeah.
It's like, where's the penthouse?
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew.
Okay, Thomas.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Thomas.
Thank you for being a part of this.
Hey, Thomas.
Hello. You rang a bell there, Maureen, when you talked about, in me, about so quiet. It really is so quiet. And yeah, about kids in school and to, like, you're much more aware of, you trust people, you feel for them and trust them. So that, like, gives you their, like, the I don't know, you trust it and you're not afraid, like, you sort of feel the quietness, and like when you're aware to that, then you know to do the right thing. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
It says, yeah. It's unstable. Yeah.
We can hear you.
So, and so what really matters is, like, show up. It's a used word, but then I'm just, like, feeling so not afraid to show up. So people, like, I'm like a magnet now. People just show up to me. So, and it's crazy. it's wonderful, Chris. It's magic. Yeah. Like it's so thank you for the peace. It's like so quiet and nice. And so I think to be conscious about what matters, like to be aware of that it's enough being me and just be quiet and show up. It's like magic. Peace. So.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, too.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, Sean. Last but not least.
Oh, hi. You all right?
Yes.
Hey, Sean.
Good, how are you doing?
Good.
Hey, excellent. It was something that just popped in there while actual sort of chats were going on at the end of the sort of towards the end of the session. It was something that I saw on Facebook that a previous friend had kind of stuck on about a teacher who gave kids an exam, went into the exam room and set all the papers out and told them you couldn't turn them over. And then when it came time to turn them over, they turned them over and all that was on the paper, there was no questions on the paper. There was just a black dot in the middle of the page. And the teacher said, right, you're not doing any questions and answers. What I want you to do is describe what you see on the paper, on the page. So she gave the kids however long time it was, and then at the end got them to read out, and all the kids had written about the black dot in the middle of the page and had talked about how they saw it and stuff. And then the teacher said, I find it interesting that none of you have actually commented about the page. You've all concentrated on this small element in the middle of the page, which is this black dot, but nobody's commented on about the space that's around it and the sort of the white page and the stuff in terms of the moral of the story of the post was about sort of, you know, we focus on more of the darker things, the negative, without seeing all the light that's around it. But to me, the thing that kind of linked in was I saw the dot as being the thought that we kind of becomes the focus of our thinking, I guess, you know, the contaminated thinking, if you like. And the page is the canvas. It's you know, it's limitless. There's you could put anything on there and anything could come from there, but everybody focuses on the dot, and that becomes the issue, you know. And it just kind of, that was just popped in there. I love that.
I was reading something by, I can't remember his name now, but he was describing about, you know, the story that we write about ourselves. You know, in books, page after page of writing different stories about ourselves. And the stories are obviously thought, like you were saying, the black dot. But what if we realised that we were the page, not the story? What if we realised we were the canvas that we can write any story onto, or not? We're just pure white. That was perfect. I love that. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, folks. It's been a great ride.
Okay. Yeah. Winston, I think you're going to be our last person today.
And I'm grateful for that.
Of course.
Not that I want this to end, because I don't. in any way. This has been a remarkable journey, and I'm grateful. Steph, Mo, everybody. The comfort of the silence when Mo finished speaking is kind of the essence of it all, and it was so comfortable. And I've searched for clarity for, we won't go into how long, but there was clarity in that moment, and I'm grateful. I'm just simply grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Winston.
Bless you, Winston.
Thank you, beautiful. Winston.
Thank everyone for showing up every week.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has. It's been very special.
Heart is overflowing. You guys.
Mm-hmm.
You,
thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
I'll unmute everybody and everyone. Okay. There you go. You're on leash.
Love you all.
Thank you.
Bye.
See
thank
you
later. Bye. Everybody.
Keep in touch.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.